Today we want to talk about a man. As pastor, I've been teaching about those in the Bible that there's not a lot to say about. But we want to talk about this man, Epaphroditus. I know I'm butchering the name because from 2000 until now, I'm butchering that name. I cannot pronounce it properly. But when Bishop read it a while ago, he pronounced it properly. So that's good enough for me, and I hope it's good enough for you. Amen? God is good. God is good. If you're looking for a title, you can. What does it take for us to be a faithful servant? What does it take for us to be a faithful servant? My brothers and sisters, Paul addressed this letter to the church at Philippi. Paul was in a Roman prison. And if you read from in Acts chapter 16 and Acts 26, you will see that where Paul was in prison in Rome, Paul found this church and his second missionary's journey. Paul established this church, and Paul loved this church, and the church is flourishing. Wonderful, blessed church. And the people in the church knew that Paul, heard that Paul was in prison. Paul on the house arrest. But Paul have some freedom where as far as they would allow him to go, he could speak to people. And for me, in my shallow mind, I believe that God Almighty placed Paul into prison. That the gospel can be preached and will be preached. Oh, my feet may shackle, but I still can talk. I may not cannot pronounce all the syllables in the English language, but I still can say something. And God assemble some men around Paul that will carry out the message. Here, this message Paul talk about in chapter 1, said, to the saints and to the bishops and to the all the people in the church. To the saints and to the bishop and to the deacons. Paul covered the entire church. We are to lift up people sometime for the work they do and for the work for Christ and for each other. My brothers and sisters, the church in Philippi sent a man, this man Epaphroditus, to Paul on a mission to bring Paul some gifts. Gifts of money. If you read over there in the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, Paul said, listen, I received the gifts and it was a sweet smelling savior unto the Lord. Not that I need anything, but you send it and the brother brought the gift, and he was one of these brothers in the church that was a wonderful servant of God. His name in Greek is a charming and lovely. That's his name. Somewhere, I think this brother know how to speak and know how to deal with people. He know how to encourage people in the Lord. to be a good Christian, to be a good servant, to be a servant of God, you are to know how to deal with people. Cannot just come up and don't have no compassion for people at all. We must have some compassion for the people of God. When I read this scripture and going, I'm going to break protocol now, but Bishop, somewhere there, a sermon that I preached 2013, press on. Press with me. So I'm there. I'm here to say, press on, Christian soldier. Press on. Yeah, yeah. Paul said, listen, I'm pressing on to the high calling of the mark of the price of Christ Jesus. But here, this man, Paul, want to send Timothy from verse 19 through 24. The church have sent Epaphroditus to Paul to minister to Paul with the gift. So, and he did. But Paul loved this church so much. Here is a man in prison.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Locked up. But his mind is on the church of Philippi. I hope, I wish we have some people today, not in this church, whose mind would stay on the Lord instead of their own. Matter of fact, if you really go back and look between 17, verse 17 and 18, Paul said, listen, I have no, listen, I don't got nobody here. And each, listen, everybody, listen, want to do their own thing. Everybody leave and gone. They're just hanging around Rome. There is nobody here that, listen, think like me. He said it there in the chapter. He said, I want to send Timothy to you, my right hand man. But there is nobody here think the way we think. There is nobody here have the mind of Christ. Everybody want to do their own thing. But I will see how it goes with me. And whatever the verdict is, Timothy will come. And listen, I may see you myself. Paul said in verse 22, but ye know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he had served with me in the gospel. You know Timothy. Listen, Timothy have a shepherd heart. This man have a love for God, but there is nobody here that I can send, but I really want to send him, but I want to see how it go with me. But I trust in the Lord, that I also myself shall come shortly. Paul have this trust and in God, know whatever the verdict is, it's going to be all right. Does anybody here knows that whatever the situation you're going in, whatever situation you are in, it is going to be all right? Then we just sing a song that I will lift up my eyes unto the Lord. I don't matter what Satan will do, I am not turning back. Is anybody here understand and know that to be a servant of God, you have to continue on the journey, press on, does not matter what happened to you. You must glorify God and magnify God at all times. I don't care how sick you be. I don't care how weak you are. You are to give God glory at all times. All time. Don't put head to pillar and don't give God glory.
Don't get up in the morning that late that you have to rush out the door and don't give God glory. Don't sit down to eat your meal and don't give God glory. You don't listen, don't let your children go to school and you don't lay hand on them and ask God guidance upon your children. Listen, don't let your husband go to work and you don't glorify God and you don't leave your house without give God glory.
Paul said, In verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to have the mind of Christ. Leave the world and it's all its perplexity and all its craziness and the madman that we have sitting in the White House. Turn him off. Spend all kind of time listening to all kind of craziness. Blacklist, whitelist, or whatever you want to call the list. You glorify God and magnify God. Read something about God. Pray to God and glorify God in your walk and in your talk that the world may see you. Yeah. Matter of fact, Paul said, listen, in the 15th verse, listen, you are a light in the world. You shine. This church is a light, a shine. Jesus said, you are a light that sit up on a hill that shine. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Yeah. Read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. We are light bearers. Yeah. We are the moon, the stars of Christ who shine that the world may see Christ and glorify God and magnify God. This man, a servant of the Most High God, church sent him to Paul and to be a good servant. You have to be a good follower. You cannot be a good Christian without to be a good follower. Now, I said before, when I read this, my mind come up on Bishop and Reverend Dixon. And we, God have called and assembled around the men of God. We are to serve the men of God and we have to serve the people of God. We must respect the man and woman of God. We must respect the preacher. And we must respect each other. Yeah. That's how this church I've been running for the last 25 years and will continue to run. Respect for each other and serve each other. A matter of fact, in verse 4, I believe Brother Paparitus really believe what verse 4 said. Because verse 4 said it like this. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. It is my job to serve others. It is my job when God calls me to preach, not to go out and to some other church, to go start church or to canvas for some other church. God have called me, placed me here to be a support cast to our pastor that to carry out the mandate that he orchestrate that somebody may get to know Jesus. That's my job. Couple of the fellas, Minister Jenkins, who called when we were called, run and want to go start church and run into roadblocks and don't like their pastor no more because the pastor don't let them do this and the pastor don't let them do that. I remember one was over there with Reverend Williams, God rest his soul, and I met him at a gas station in Chicopee. And all that he can tell me is everything that Reverend Williams didn't do. And I sat there and listened. Now, what are you doing? Well, Paul said, I have nobody with the same mindset who sold out for God. Who really, really, really trust God and working for the Lord, all gone and doing their own thing. But Paul said in the 25th verse of chapter 2, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. I want you to listen now. Oh, Paul, give this man credential. My brother and my companion. And in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that minister to my wants, to my every need. This man of God is a real servant of God. This man ministered to every need that Paul had. When Paul couldn't go out far enough, he goes and spread the gospel. Everything that Paul wants him to do, he did it. How much of us this morning really, if Bishop wanted to send us out, he can say all these about us? Are we a brother? Are we a companion with him in the Lord? Listen, Paul have Epaphroditus as his equal. Yes, I am Paul the apostle. I am Paul the evangelist. But this brother, Paul have him so close to him because he have the same mindset like Paul. I wonder if we have the same mindset. To know that whatever it is, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. Oh, you read over there in chapter 3 and the 13, and listen to that, verse 12, 13, and 14. Paul's a burden. Oh, what they say about me in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 3. I'm leaving it all behind. Listen, I'm forgetting about it and I'm pressing forward to the high mark of God, Christ Jesus, my Lord, pressing on to reach to the high mark of God. I'm looking heaven bound. Yeah. What does this have to do about Epaphroditus? Because he's a man of God. Paul said, listen, for he longed to see you. He longed after you all. I think Paul speaking Ebanics. He longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Listen, this man was working for Paul, for God, and doing everything that he can for build up the ministry and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere Paul sent him and everywhere he goes. All he talk about is Jesus. We're not to talk to people. Nobody at all. I make that my call from last year. And not to talk to nobody for half an hour or an hour. And you don't know who Jesus is. I don't care how sweet your conversation is to me. I got to tell you about Jesus. Because if you don't know about Jesus and you die and go to hell, it may be on my charge. I don't want that on my charge. I do enough ugly stuff that already there. I have to tell somebody about Jesus. That's my job, to tell somebody about Christ. It is my job to encourage somebody. It is my job to encourage you, my brothers and sisters. We are called here to preach, teach, and encourage and carry out the mandate that God have given to our pastor to carry it out to the full of the tee. We are to administrate whatever he said and carry it out that everybody may know who Jesus Christ is. We're not going to do that. Then when I was studying, reading, I have things down and just want to put some little final touch and something. But when it come to verse 27, sitting at my kitchen table, I can feel a cold chill go over my body. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Verse 27, I want you to mark it and really read it over and over and over till you get the full understanding what it is. Keep your Bible open. Don't close it up yet. Listen, Paul said, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God, had mercy on him. But God had mercy on him, and not in him alone, but on me also too. Lest I have sorrow upon sorrow. Remember, my brothers and sisters, Paul is in jail. Locked up in jail. But thinking about the church. Thinking about this Philippian church. And if this man died, I have my own problem. I locked up in here. I'm waiting to see what God is going to do. But if the way this man is sick, if he's dead, bring more sorrow to me that I have more sorrow up and sorrow. What am I going to do, God? I don't know about you. If you ever prayed in this kind of fashion, when you are in some situation that look very tedious, when it feel like there is no way out that you can, listen, there is no way physically, when you look at the situation, there is no way that you can get out of this, but God had mercy and compassion and you and lead you through the valley of the shadow of death that you will fear no evil. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Oh, I'm in jail. I have all the church on my mind. I locked up in jail because I preach Christ. And if this brother died, listen, there will be more pain and more pain. And the reason why he's sick, it is because of the work of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why he's sick. My brothers and sisters, all of us that have been sick already are going to get sick. And if you don't get sick, live on. Live on. I went on vacation the other day and somebody said to me back over in the old country, you look better than 2013 when you were here. I said, thank be to God. I ain't got nothing to do with that. This is God. Because I don't drink them crazy liquor. I don't smoke no weed. Listen, I don't snort nothing. I don't shoot myself with nothing. Listen, and I go to bed at a reasonable time, and I glorify God and give God glory. Listen, I'm not a night owl. By 8 o'clock, I'm ready for bed. I have nothing to do with my age. For 35 years, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work. So 8 o'clock, I'm in bed. So if I look the way I'm look, you just talk to God about it. Oh, but God. Let me divert for a second and talk to you about something that really bothers me. sitting in my father's house that my daughter have now. And the night when we come about to get ready to come back and Thursday morning, Wednesday night, I don't know where the conversation comes from. But it started in the middle of the conversation, they started to talk about God. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And my daughter is Seventh-day Adventist. So she popped that out. And my cousin that live in Atlanta, the one who sponsored this family reunion. Oh, yes. It's only God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy because he's a jackleg Seventh-day Adventist. Because he drinks and smokes. And my daughter, who's Seventh-day Adventist Bobby, she have liquor in her room on her dresser. And when we outside playing dominoes, just having fun, she sits on the step with her liquor. But she said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I asked her, can you be saved by keep the Sabbath day holy? God said, we must. I said, tell me, can you be saved by keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, I'm a Jew. I said, listen, you remember? Do you understand that this is for the Jews? Jesus came and fulfilled his scripture. Oh, I'm not going to nobody's church on Sunday. I'm not going to no Sunday church. I mean, she just get off. So when I leave, I was hot. I just got to tell you the truth. I was hot. My grandson, 36 years old, want to know how could Mary have a baby without a man? I said, God Almighty did that. Man, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I can't believe that at all. Somewhere along, I can't believe. I said, this is God business. And you must be saved. You must turn from your evil ways. And no God. We have a hot conversation. I said to you again before I leave, I was hot. When I get here Friday morning, I'm still hot. I'm just telling you the truth. Taking my wife to the doctor's on Friday morning and coming back, I found my radio on a station that I know I didn't leave it at. So I guess it's my daughter, leave it on there. One of my daughter here, leave it on there. And the young lady said, who was doing the DJ for the Christian radio, said, all have some fault. Everybody have some fault. And she read this verse in chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do forgetting, those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Right there, as the young lady have read this scripture, my spirit, the evil spirit, just leave me. All the hotness gone. How could you be going for Seventh-day Adventist church? What are they teaching you there? Are you just going there to be a poster? And you don't know that you are to serve God? Then because my cousin said, the reason why we serve God on Sunday, because in the 1800, Constantine have changed it because Jesus Christ have risen on Sunday. I said, that's it. That's why we worship on Sunday, because he get up early on Sunday morning. I have strength in God to know that the empty tomb is there to prove who he is. Early on Sunday morning, get up with all power in his hand. That's
why I worship on Sunday. That's why I magnify God and glorify God, because he's my God. Yeah, Lord. Mess around with me. I serve God. I go down, I went down there, my wife and I, to have a family reunion, but this turned out to be an evangelism tour where we go on. Because I got to tell them who Jesus is, that if they never see my face again, they know. Tell me a whole bunch of nonsense. I asked my daughter, "Are you a Jew?" "Yes, I'm a." I said, "Which part are you a Jew?" "Well, I'm going to wear the Jew." I said, "Go ahead. Go ahead." Then she said to me, I know I'm leaving. I'm getting there. I'm just pointing out something to you. She said to me, "If I come to America and come to your house, I'm not going to know Sunday church." I said, "That's the reason why you don't come. That's the very reason why you don't come. Because you have been to the embassy 4 or 5 times already and they turn you down. And they give you no reason why. It's the reason why you don't come. God, if you come to my house, you got to come to church. I'll find your own place to stay." Oh. But God had mercy on him and on me. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Paul said, "Listen, when you see Epaphroditus, this man of God, you may rejoice when you see him." Listen, he didn't fail me. When he was sick, he didn't fail me. Yes, the work was a lot of work, but when he gets sick in the work, he's never against the work. When he gets sick in the work, Epaphroditus was not against the work. You understand that the man of God gets sick sometimes? How many times, my brothers and sisters, we sit in the same church, see the man of God come up here, back pain, head pain, knee pain, this pain, out of pain, but I guess he read what Brother Paul said. "I don't care what state I am in, I'm pressing on." Is anybody here know what it is to press on? Because you have a charge to carry out. You have a mandate from God Almighty. I don't care whether my back hurts or his head hurts. He understands that God have placed him here and placed this flock under his tutelage. And he have to preach whether in season or out of season. Are you a person who pressing on? Are you just come every other Sunday? Or you don't come at all? Reason why he's sick. I'm going to tie up verse 29 and 30, then we can go home. "Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and all such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Listen, it was about a 6 weeks journey from Philippi to Rome. So the message get there that Paul was sick, that Paul was in jail. So it takes 6 weeks. Then when from Epaphroditus to leave Philippi, leave the church of Philippi to go where Paul is, that the next 6 weeks. And now, Brother Paul sending him back another 6 weeks journey. Paul said in verse 25 again, Listen, yet I suppose it necessary when I really weighed all the facts and waited, and when I look and all things there, listen, I want to send Timothy in verse 19 through 24, but when I read all the facts about this man that here, to support me, one of my right-hand men, I got to send him back to let them know it's all right with me. Whatever God will is for me, daddy. Paul don't know if he's going to get beheaded or we're going to die by natural causes. So he sent this man of service, this Christian man. What does it take us to be a faithful servant? Paul said when he gets there, rejoice with him. Rejoice with him. Lift him up. Lift him up. Listen, hold such in high regard and high reputation. This is a good man. This is a brother of Christ. This is not somebody that gone out on their own, but this is a man of God. Do you see in this church anybody like that? Do you see any right-hand man for bishop who's like that? Do you see any right-hand woman for bishop, just like that? Do you see any missionary just like that? Do you see any deacon just like that? Is there any trustee just like that? Who will serve God, who sold out for God, who understand to risk their life for put it all for Christ? Reading on one writer said, listen, Epaphroditus was like a gambler. He put all his chips on Jesus Christ. If I fail with him, I fail with him. But I'm going with him. Wherever he tells me to go, I'm going with him. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. No matter where the chips lie, I'm going with him. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. He was nigh unto death. But lift him up. Now I send him back home to you. Treat him. Greet him with a Christian welcome. Listen. Lift this man up. Enjoy. Join. Read again from one writer said, the world honored those who are intelligent, beautiful, rich, and powerful. What kind of people should the church honor? Paul tells us we should esteem those who give their life for the sake of Jesus Christ. Those are the people that we lift up, not those people in the world who don't want God, the rich and the powerful, sit high and mighty, but those people who sold out for God. As I get ready to take my seat, I want to ask this question. Did Jesus sold out for you when he goes to the cross? Well, when I read down in the Bible, say when his time was fully come, he fixed his eyes on Calvary. Oh, if you read like me, like last week, Sunday school lesson, he say he goes around all the cities and the town and preach and doing good. But his eyes was up to Jerusalem, going to Calvary. It leaves me to ask you this question. Is your eyes on Calvary? Is your eyes on Jesus? Are you worrying about what you're going to do when you get out of here today? I suggest to you this afternoon that you keep your eyes on Jesus. Because if you take your eyes off Jesus, you're going to have sorrows upon sorrow. pain upon pain, distress upon distress. You're going to have all kind of problems. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, there will be a day of rejoicing. You will have joy, unspeakable joy, if you keep your eyes on Jesus. I want to let you know this morning that the two men on the cross, one of their mind on the world, but they had to have their mind on Jesus, because he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I want to let you know this morning that Jesus said unto him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Who is your mind stayed in? It is your children. It is your job. Your mind is on Jesus. I can say to you, keep your mind focused on Jesus. Because when Jesus go to the grave on that third day morning, he get up with all power into his hand, that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. That you and I can walk on this new Jerusalem. That you and I someday will step out when the trumpet have blown. Oh, the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive will be caught up together in the air. I don't fly. God didn't let me fly. He gave me 2 foot for walk. But one of these old days, when you come to 17 Newport, don't look there. But if you look up, you can see me going up. I'm going to fly out of here one morning. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I keep in my eyes on Jesus. I'm pressing on. I am pressing on as a good soldier. I am pressing on this great walk. I'm walking in faith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In faith. What does it take to be a good servant?
Yes.
Is your service please God? Are you serving God the way he ought to serve? There is some people in this church know what servanthood is. There is some people in this church know how, what it is to serve.
Yeah. I say to you again, as this church sent Paul, sent Epaphroditus to Paul, and Paul said in verse number 5, I want to leave you with this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. May God bless you and keep you.